Welcome to the Senate Committee on Education and Workforce Development. Four items on the agenda today. We're going to start with a couple of housekeeping items. Senate Bill 927 that we heard the other day, we are going to move that bill to the Ways and Means Committee, and without amendment and without recommendation. So, Senator Morse.
We're in work session.
I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 927.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 927 without recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 927 to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation by prior reference. Discussion? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment that the reason I sponsored this bill is because I think there's some good policy to increase online learning opportunities for students. I've heard from many people who are concerned about parts of the bill, but I certainly want to say that my intention in sponsoring the bill is because I think we need to increase online learning opportunities for students in Oregon, and I hope that we can work on it in another committee to make sure that it furthers that policy. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator George?
Just going to We're moving it without recommendation to Ways and Means.
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morse?
Aye.
Chair
Aye.
Adopted. Measure goes to Senate Bill 927 goes to the Ways and Means Committee. A closed work session, and I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 175. Linda, if you could refresh us with a summary.
Certainly. Senate Bill 175 creates the Oregon Employer Workforce Training Program and the Oregon Youth Employment Program in the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. It outlines the purposes and requires the department to adopt rules for programs, charges local workforce investment boards with local management of the programs created, requires private sector funding equal to state funding for Oregon Employer Workforce Training Fund, and establishes the program funds in the state treasury.
Thank you. In committee, as you know, we've adopted an amendment for it already. We didn't have the appropriate fiscal paperwork. We do now. This also goes to Ways and Means, and we're in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 175 as amended with a due pass recommendation and recommend a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 175 as amended with a due pass recommendation and recommend a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there discussion? Seeing none. Objection? Seeing none. So ordered. Motion passes. Senate Bill 175 goes to the Ways and Means Committee, and I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 175. And we're going to take up 245 first and then go to 909. So let me open up a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 245.
Senate Bill 245 extends the sunset of the Oregon School Facilities Task Force and the Oregon Schools Facilities Task Force Fund. It establishes new report timelines and appropriates money from the general fund. Senate Bill 245 has an amendment, and it replaces the original measure with a measure that extends the sunset date of the School Facilities Task Force to January 2nd, 2014. It adds an additional member to the task force and prescribes elements for a public school facility. Recommendations resulting from the study are to be made to the 77th Legislative Assembly by February 1st, 2013.
Okay, we do have a couple of people who want to speak on this. Let me call up Morgan Allen, Carol Samuels, and Louis Caraballo. They're here. And also, hello to students from West Sylvan Middle School. See their guy work in action. See, I actually do things down here, in spite of all those mailers you get that just from.
and Senator Haas, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Luis Caraballo. I am the current chair of the Oregon Facilities Task Force. I'm also the director of facilities and planning for Salem-Keizer Public Schools. We're here this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, to ask for your support in passage of Senate Bill 245 with the -1 amendment. The task force was created last session through House Bill 2013. The short version of the history of it is the task force was seated about 7 months after the after passage, and due to the financial crisis that the state has found itself in, the fund and the appropriations that were to be available to the task force had been held in reserve pending the challenges you folks have before you. So the task force has simply been able to meet, have discussions about the policy issues we have to move forward with, but we believe that we still have the capacity to bring a number of very critical policy issues before you for consideration and discussion, and hence we do request the continuation of the task force without any additional funding so that we can continue to explore those policy issues, bring them before you in the hopes that as our economy betters, that we can have some of those resources made available to the task force for us to then bring you empirical data to support the other policy concerns that we bring to your attention. So, with that in a nutshell is the sum of what we have. With me this afternoon, I also have my peer from North Wasco who represents school districts of less than 3,000 who would like to share some comments with you as well.
Chairman Haas, members of the committee, I'm Dennis Whitehouse, Facilities Director, North Wasco County School District 21, The Dalles, Oregon. I'm here today sincerely urging you to support Senate Bill 245 to extend the life of the Oregon School Facilities Task Force. Representing all school districts with less than 3,000 students, I became a member of the Oregon School Facilities Task Force to be actively involved in the process of improving the school and classroom conditions for all schools in Oregon. Chairing the assessment subcommittee, we developed a process to assess all the school buildings to determine their condition and how large the facility's problem is. We would have been able to accomplish that assessment within the original task force budget had the budget been appropriated. Working with my counterparts on the financial and standard subcommittees, we had hopes of presenting our findings along with recommendations to the legislature for education and for action. As a facilities director of a small rural school district, I see firsthand what the lack of state involvement in school facilities has caused. All but one of our buildings are over 60 years old. In most of those years, the maintenance and support of those buildings has been depleted due to budget and personnel shortages. The inequities that exist between districts, especially large and small, are something that must be addressed and rectified. In districts with small population base, it is not feasible to develop or improve school facilities that depend solely on local funding, as many other states have already determined after they've gone through expensive litigation. The experience of the task force could be pivotal in so many ways as discussions concerning education in Oregon move forward. For example, the recent discussions concerning full-day kindergarten could have benefited from input of the task force. In our district, it will be very difficult to implement full-day kindergarten without additional funding beyond the school support fund. We simply do not have the space to accommodate the additional kids. I urge you to support Senate Bill 245 and look for your continued support of the bill and the Oregon School Facilities Task Force. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Chair Haas. Members of the committee, for the record, Morgan Allen on behalf of the Oregon School Boards Association here in support of Senate Bill 245 with the -1 amendment. Briefly, I think we all know that the infrastructure of our schools in most, if not all, of our school district is starting to crumble, and there are some severe deferred maintenance needs and needs for new buildings and updates and other things. But this task force was created because nobody really, beyond anecdotal evidence, has a full understanding of the total scope of the problem. And unfortunately, because of budget reasons, as you heard, the task force wasn't able to complete its work. But, you know, basically this bill would allow them to continue to exist and see if the economy does improve, if they're able to cobble together some private resources to do part or all of that work, and give them a little bit of extra time to do that. So we're in support of that, and we would be happy to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm worried that the work, if it's over 3 years' time, some of the earlier findings become obsolete as you you know, go beyond a couple of years. Case in point is the declining enrollments that we're seeing in so many of our school districts. These aren't structural issues, but they're space issues, such as one of the previous speakers brought up. And he, in fact, mentioned full-day kindergarten, that, you know, 10 years ago that debate involved capacity and space. Now, according to the task force that looked at it, it's no longer such a big issue because of declining enrollment. So I'm just wondering how effective, if this goes on much longer, how, what about the stuff you looked at last year? Is that still current information?
Chairperson Haas, I would disagree a little bit with your commentary. Our district, as an example, even in these economic times, is not a district that is declining in enrollment. And in fact, our success in 2008 in passing a $240 million bond to deal with repair and renovation also had a substantial component to deal with the then existing and continuing to exist enrollment challenge in each and every one of our facilities. So I think that there will be a mix. The issues of the decay of our infrastructure will continue. Our ability to help modernize those buildings into 21st century educational models continues to be a challenge in facilities that were designed for 50-year lifespans but are reaching 60, 70, even 100 years. And those issues are contemporary. In addition, you know, the unfortunate dynamics of what we experienced through the earthquake and tsunami out of Japan continues to raise the question that a number of years ago, there were discussions around the seismic concerns of our schools across the state. Much of that continues even today. And those are issues that again, the task force will need to continue to address and give context to. They simply will not go away.
Senator Haas, I'd add two comments or two good reasons to sort of give the task force a little extension. The first is earlier this week, and we're very appreciative of this. This committee passed out Senate Bill 18 related to the Measure 68 funding. So for the first time, we may have a pretty significant influx of state money available to our school districts to help with their infrastructure needs. And it would be good to sort of, again, have that assessment of the problem so that when the state board and the superintendent sit down and try to decide how to allocate those funds fairly between districts, that there's sort of a base of knowledge, that they're not just sort of taking a stab at it. And again, the second reason, which was just brought up again, is the seismic situation. As part of my duties at the School Boards Association, I am on the Seismic Grant Rehabilitation Committee that's managed by the Office of Emergency Management. And that, you know, just the microcosm of that need is great. I think we had, I want to say, somewhere between 50 and 80 schools apply for seismic rehabilitation funds that were, you know, shovel ready or ready to go projects. There are, I believe, 30 to 35 finalists, and we actually had enough resources to fund three of those projects during this biennium. So just to kind of give you a sense of the scope and the magnitude of the problem and the districts that are out there ready to go. So
I appreciate that, and I didn't mean it wasn't a hostile question. I was just wondering.
Ms. Samuels?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I apologize for being a little late. My name is Carol Samuels. I'm a senior vice president with Seattle Northwest Securities in Portland, and I also am here today to express my support for Senate Bill 245, which would extend the life of the School Facilities Task Force. The SFTF was created in the last legislative session to complete an assessment of the physical state of school facilities across the state, and importantly, from my perspective, straight to your question, Mr. Chairman, develop recommendations on funding mechanisms that might be used to address these facility needs, which, even with declining enrollments, are obviously of inordinate magnitude. Although I currently serve as the chair of the Finance Subcommittee of the Task Force, it would be incorrect to infer from my title that we've been able to accomplish very much, largely due to the lack of funding. For this reason, extending the life, in my opinion, is critical. As a finance professional in the private sector, and I deal with most of the school districts across this state, it's often occurred to me that Oregon is both inefficient and inequitable in its approach to dealing with school facilities. Inefficient in that we have no knowledge of the depth and breadth of statewide needs. Are the most extreme needs being addressed by local bond issues? We don't know, because we've never compiled a comprehensive list of where the needs lie, nor have we developed any prioritization of what needs should be addressed first. Further, the system is inefficient because we've never identified a source of funding for ongoing maintenance of these facilities. Currently, school districts are forced to choose between using funds in the classroom or using funds for maintenance. When times get tight, maintenance loses. Over time, that makes the costs associated with facilities rise exponentially. The system is inequitable because wealthier districts have, for the most part, been able to make use of local sources, such as general obligation bonds, to address their needs. Less affluent districts have not. Although the state does provide equalized, in my opinion, inadequate, but equalized funding for operational purposes, no such equalization exists on the facilities side. Yet, facilities clearly play an enormous role in ensuring the delivery of quality education. The SFTF has the potential to provide the legislature with a comprehensive roadmap of how to address these key facilities, particularly, as Morgan suggested, as you go down the road of implementing Measure 68. This information is essential, in my opinion, to making informed decisions on allocating scarce resources into the future. I urge your support for Senate Bill 245, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions? Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 245? If not, I'll close the public hearing and I'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 245. This was destined for Ways and Means. Senator Morse.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 245 dated April 8, 2011.
Senator Morse moves to adopt the -1 amendment dated April 8, 2011 to Senate Bill 245. Any discussion? Senator George.
Colleagues, I have introduced a bill last session with Senator Johnson. This session, it's Senate Bill 457. We have a public purpose charge in the state of Oregon that is designed to be a public purpose charge for bringing facilities up to grade in energy conservation. That fund has grown off budget to over $200 million. And these bills that Senator Johnson and I have been working on would direct $100 million to K-12 education for facilities to upgrade their facilities for energy conservation and everything. And the problem is that currently those dollars are funneled into corporate welfare. And so I can't get a hearing on any of these bills for the last two sessions. And here we have a crisis in schools. We have $100 million sitting there that's going to corporate welfare, and we can't deal with these issues. And I just want to put that on the record as we move this forward, how disingenuous it is for us to be moving things when we have resources available and we refuse to take on everybody who's feeding at the trough of government right now. And I just want to put that on the record because these are the types of bills that we pass. And if we're not going to put teeth in it, I really think that we need to put teeth in this. And something like this would be $100 million per biennium, and it would grow. That would always flow into K-12 education, into the schools, to upgrade their facilities. $100 million per biennium. And really, all we would be doing is affecting corporate welfare. I just want to put that on record.
Thank you. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. I tempted to get into a discussion about Senator George's bill, but it's not before us. I just want to note that similar issues, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, similar issues exist with court facilities where you have that unique situation where you have buildings that are in each county and it's not really clear who's supposed to be funding them. And we also have problems with a lot of our courts, and there have been facility task forces and groups that have looked at all of that. We finally, I hope, coming over from the House, have a bill that has a small percentage of funding that can go back to the counties that they can use for facilities. But the reason I bring that up is because not only is it analogous, but in the school situation, it's, I think, multiplied because there's so many more schools. So we do have an issue, a serious issue that we need to deal with. I'm going to support this bill, but wish we had a solution that actually helped and worked for us before us. So maybe I'll go talk to Senator George after
that. More than we want to get you to sign on.
It's just something we need to address. It's a serious issue. I do know that the districts that have either recently passed or are considering bonds have done studies, because whenever there's a bond, they always present where the funding will go if the bond measure passes. So those districts that are working on bonds study and tend to know where the needs are more than the other districts, but we have to have a more comprehensive approach, because I do agree with Ms. Samuels that it's really an equity issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. It is. It is. Every school construction is every bit of vexing a problem as operating schools. We see that every day. Portland right now is debating a $548 million bond measure. Further discussion? Seeing none. Any objections? Seeing none, the measure passes, and Senate Bill...
That was just to adopt the Dash 1.
That was the Dash 1 amendment, so I beg your pardon. Senator Morris, on the motion for the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 245 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 245 to the Ways and Means by committee by prior reference. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 245 goes to the Ways and Means Committee. And I close that work session on Senate Bill 245 and open up a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 909. We heard this last week. We have the governor's office here. Representative Johnson, did you want to speak on this? Are you a spectator? Just a spectator. Okay.
Aww. Welcome.
Don't make us beg you.
You can sit at the dais.
While they're coming up, Senate Bill 909, as originally written, established a task force on Education Investment Board for the purposes of determining whether to establish an Education Investment Board and to identify the potential functions of the board. There have been four amendments to the bill. We are going to be addressing Senate Bill 909-4 amendments today, which replaces the original bill, but still establishes the Oregon Education Investment Board for the purposes of overseeing a unified public education system. And Dr. Golden, will you be going through the points of the... Thank you.
Senator Haas, members of the committee, I'd first like to introduce my colleagues. Roger Bassett is with me, and Duke Shepard is with me. And for the record, I'm Nancy Golden, the education advisor to Governor Kitzhaber. I want to speak to you for a moment about the Dash 4 amendments. I want to say that these reflect the feedback that we've received. And they are, the first thing is that they adjust timelines. An example of this would be to give a little bit more time for things such as the integration of data systems. They refine language regarding outcomes, ensuring that we invest so all students can reach the outcomes. They create the Early Learning Council. They defer to Senate Bill 242 for setting up the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. They leave additional structures, if needed, for the Oregon Education Investment Board to make recommendations to the 2012 legislative session. They ensure that this bill does not supersede local governance.
Okay. You want to go through section by section or walk us through? Or?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The Dash 4 is replaced. What was there? The entire bill.
Yep. The Dash 4, the things I just read you are the things that are different in Dash 4, but I can walk you through all of the major sections of Dash 4.
And it does incorporate the threes, not to get too wrapped up in these amendments. But.
Okay. So, Section 1 creates the Oregon Educational Investment Board. It designates the governor or his designee as the chair of the board. It states that the board is also composed of 12 additional members. It outlines the goal of the board, which is to include recommending strategic investments, outlining budgeting to outcomes, a statewide data system and streamlining educational system. The educational system. Section 2 creates the chief investment officer, and it gives the authority to the board to hire the chief investment officer. Section 3 creates the Oregon Education Investment Fund. Section 4 establishes the Early Learning Council, directs the Early Learning Council to report to the Oregon Education Investment Board. The Early Learning Council will consist of 9 members, one of whom will be a member of the Education Investment Board. It creates the Early Childhood System Director. Section 5 requires the Early Learning Council to analyze and report on the coordination, consolidation, and merging of state-administered early childhood programs. Section 6 requires the Oregon Education Investment Board to report to the legislators on the following: merging, designing, and improving the coordination of early childhood services and integration of child-centered outcomes, merging the board, the State Board of Education and the State Board of Higher Education, requiring the commissioner of the county of the community college services, the chancellor of the Oregon University Systems, and the executive director of the Oregon Student Assisted Commission to function under the direction and control of the chief education officer. Evaluating the consolidating, aligning, and coordination of the Youth Investment Foundation, juvenile crime prevention programs and services, the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, and the Youth Standing Committee of the Oregon Workforce Investment Team. Section 7 directs the Oregon Education Investment Board to begin to use statewide data systems using existing resources when possible. Section 8 links Senate Bill 909 to Senate Bill 242. And Section 9 gives the effective date of January 1st, 2012.
Thank you.
You said you delayed some dates in this amendment.
There's one example, the statewide data system.
The data system, for example?
Yeah.
Here at the June. Where else?
Early childhood, June 30th.
Yes. Did you say that?
Early childhood.
Yeah.
Those were the two.
Those were the two. I'm Senator Hass. Those are the two.
Okay. And the purpose of that, of delaying those, is to do more work or just put more time out there?
I think with the data system, we got feedback that integrating 3 existing data systems so we can use existing resources is a big job, and we want to make sure we do it well. So that's just to give us more time. And I would say with the Early Learning Council, what's really important is that we work with key stakeholders to around the recommendations.
Okay. Committee, questions? Senator Morris?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm supportive of the efforts of the governor, but I have to share publicly a concern over the process. This is the largest sea change in the history of education in Oregon. And we held a public hearing not long ago. We're now in a work session, and the legislature has not had an opportunity, nor has the public, in a broad, comprehensive way, to weigh in on what we're attempting to do. And I think in many ways it's a disservice to the process. I'm not taking objection to the intent, because I think it's appropriate that we look from a very broad perspective of all the various functions and how they fit and piece together in ways that make more efficient sense with better outcomes, and I think that's the intent of where we're going here. But I have to push back pretty strongly to advance a sea change of legislation in such a short time period without having the opportunity to really work and vet Mr. Chair, I think about Senate Bill 242 and the amount of time and process and the input that we had to move what will now be a very small piece of this huge, huge change. And so I just have to share that. I'm supportive, but I'm resisting from the standpoint of the process. And it's trying to move too much too quickly without really vetting and listening and thinking about these issues. I understand this is a process, but it's more than a process because we're actually implementing, and we're setting in motion what will be the biggest sea change in the history of this state in education. And we're doing it with one public hearing and one public hearing and work session. Now, there's more to this process as it goes through the Assembly, but we've denied the House the opportunity to have this discussion by virtue of this bill will be going to Ways and Means. Again, this is a legislature that needs to be engaged and thoughtfully considering what we're doing here. So I don't say these things in criticism of the intent. I say them in criticism of the timeline and the process, and I hope you understand that.
Sure, I do.
Questions or comments? Senator Shields? Chair Hess, are we in work session now?
We're in work session.
Okay. And is there a motion?
No.
On the table? Okay, well, I'll wait till that happens.
Yeah, I think Senator Moore's comments are fair. I think in defense of the governor, when we started on Senate Bill 242, he hadn't even been through a primary election yet. And part of it is we had a year head start on him, and he just came into the office in January. So as we've discussed with him, his office's timing is an issue here. But nonetheless, this is bound for Ways and Means. Keep swinging at it, and I think you have a lot of support in the concept of the larger picture here, and we're here to help. So let me go ahead and take a motion, Senator Morris, if there are no further comments or questions.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 909, dated April 19th, 2011.
Senator Morris moves to adopt the dash 4 amendment, dated April 19th, 2011, to Senate Bill 909. Discussion? Senator Shields?
No, not on the movement of the amendment. Thank you.
Objection? So ordered.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 909 as amended with a due pass recommendation and recommend a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 909 as amended with a due pass recommendation and recommended a subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion? Senator Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate the work that has gone into this and appreciate the time constraints. I just wanted to put on the record the concerns that we heard on the higher education bill regarding trying to make higher ed part of the broader context did raise some concerns for me, and I will be a courtesy vote to send it down to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. I'm pleased to do that in appreciation of the governor's leadership on it. I think it's been great, but I would reserve the right to change my vote on the floor if depending on how the bill comes out, what the costs are, and how that all those things interact.
Further discussion? Senator Bonamici?
Just want to make a comment that I appreciate the work on the dash 4 amendment because I think it addresses some of the concerns that were raised. And I'm going to support the dash 4 amendment and the due pass recommendation. And it's a bit of a leap of faith, but I'm really encouraged by the people who are around the table and looking forward to seeing the work that's done as this moves forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator George?
Mr. Chair, I will be voting no on this motion. I want to thank Dr. Golden. I think that the governor's office has really made education reform a huge priority, so I appreciate that. And I've been willing to discuss a lot of these education reforms. My problem really centers around that I'm trying to get my mind around the concept. I have not seen that consolidation necessarily means efficiency when it comes to government. And in fact, I like the idea of more innovation and more local control, and a lot of the reforms that were brought up in the House that obviously didn't get going to our side, this broader discussion of where decisions should be made. These things are things that I believe need to be vetted and discussed and debated. I understand, I think, where the governor's going with this, and generally, if it really is just to be more of a coordinating type of opportunity, I think that sounds great. But what I'm concerned about is a consolidation of power and really taking even more control away from parents, students, and teachers. So I'll vote no, but look forward to a product that gets better as we go through this process.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bonamy?
Aye.
Senator George?
No.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moore?
Aye.
Chair Hatch?
Aye.
Measure passes. To Ways and Means Committee, Senate Bill 909 heads to Ways and Means. We'll close the work session. We have no further business before us, so we are adjourned.